Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. You look around the world and see what is happening, you think it's all coming apart. Well, no, it's all being set up for a change. Now, we've seen all the riots in all of the Muslim countries. Which way will it go? That's what everybody's wondering. Well, it may go to the moderate side, because the other day, the Muslims and the Egyptian Coptics, that's the so-called Christian church in Egypt, were marching together in solidarity against the Brotherhood. Now, when we know that it's going to go really moderate is when we see a protest of all women with their burqa covers off. Then we will know that it's going to go more moderate. And so there's still a lot of argument as to what's taking place here. But I want to read a couple things. We want to talk about the coming world government and how they're even talking about it here. And then I will read part of the conclusion from the book that Glenn Beck recommended, The Day the Dollar Crashes, okay? And I'll tell you a little bit about the author when I get to it. But all of these things are going to lead to an economic meltdown. Now, let's add to all of this what we've just seen this past few days in Japan. That's going to affect the prices of so many different things. You know, if you're building a house now, you better get all your material as soon as you can, because all the prices are going to go up, because guess where it's going to be shipped to? Japan. If you look at all the houses that were destroyed and the buildings that were destroyed, and it if you watched all of those things, which I'm sure you did, you saw just exactly how the flood came against the disbelievers in Noah's day. Only tremendous rain in addition to it. See, it says there of the flood. Let's go back here to Book of Genesis. And let's see what it says of the flood and what happened. Because there's a whole lot more water around than anybody has imagined. Okay. Let's pick it up here. Verse 10, after they all got in the ark. Okay. And Genesis 7, verse 10. Genesis 7, verse 10. Okay, and it came to pass after 7 days. Now, isn't it interesting that God had them in there for 7 days before it started to rain? Okay, well, it doesn't say it didn't start to rain, but it took 7 days that the waters of the flood came upon the earth, so it began to really come. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on this day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up. What does that mean? Boy, that's like ripping the world, great tsunamis. And so it was more than just rain that did it. You know, maybe God raised the ocean floor. You know, with that tsunami that happened over in Japan, that was one little area that was raised up. And by the way, an 8.9 is 1,000 times stronger than the 7.3 that took place in New Zealand. And I'm going to have to look at my big National Geographic. I got a huge National Geographic book, and it shows not only the landmass, but it shows all of what it looks like under the ocean. And I think that this whole fault line runs clear around up by Japan, up around by Alaska, and down through here, and it comes down to San Francisco. And last time I flew to Seattle, where I'm going next week, I remember being in a plane and looking out the window, and I counted 7 volcanoes. There are a lot of volcanoes up there. And we also saw Mount St. Helens and Mount Rainier. And I thought to myself, I wonder what would happen if all seven of them blew at once. And just like this tsunami, comes like that. Completely off guard. You can't have any way of escape. There's a whole village that Gene was telling us about, right on the ocean. It's gone. There are four trains, and the trains went along closer to the coast. They can't account for them. One island, they now know with GPS, moved 8 feet north. There are five nuclear plants that may blow. So much for nuclear energy in the United States. That will put a cap on that. So that's what they were experiencing. Take what they had in Japan and just multiply it around the whole earth at the same time. The fountains of the deep were broken up. Wouldn't that require earthquakes everywhere? Yes, indeed. Okay. And the windows of heaven were opened. How much water is up there? And I've often wondered, you know, they see some of these asteroids out there and they know they're ice. I wonder how many of those asteroids God sent toward the earth and let them melt and become part of the rain. And let's always remember this. When God does something, he doesn't do it just a itty witty 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 bit so he can say that he did it. He does it to the maximum. So it rained, and the rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And that wasn't just drip, drip, drip. That was like these monsoons, and I would say make it a little stronger than those monsoons. And in India, when the British were there, the wives had an awful hard time during monsoons because it rained for 6 months. Rain, rain, rain. You can't get dry. Mildew, you know, bugs, animals, you know, tropical. So just think of all of that together. Okay? So that's what happened. And it was on the same day that they entered the ark. So they didn't sit there for 7 days, but it took 7 days for it to get up there. So it was the water from the deep, so they had tsunami waves everywhere. Oh, it'll never rain. This'll never happen. That'll never happen. But you need to understand, if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Okay? Now, let's come to Matthew 24. We've read this how many times? How many times have we read this? So many we can't count them, but what it does, it verifies that the Word of God is true and it's going to take place and it's going to be exactly as God has said. Why? Because God cannot lie. And since he does everything to the maximum, it's not going to be a minimum. And that's what we need to understand when we look at some of the things in the book of Revelation. I've been working on the book, The Appointed Times of the Messiah, and I have chapter 7 and chapter 8, The Signs of Jesus' Return, part 1 and part 2. And I tell you, you read what's going to happen with, you know, when the heavens are rolled back as a scroll, and this whole earth is going to shake. It's going to be quite a thing. Now I understand the period of time from Pentecost to trumpets before things get going again, because they're going to need 4 months to get up and going a little bit. I mean, just think how long it's going to take for them to recover even in the unflooded areas of Japan. You know, and as I was coming across the bridge over the Carquinez Straits, which I have to go over to go to Fairfield, and I looked down there and I thought, wow, could you imagine that this whole bridge, I mean, it's up in the air a couple hundred feet, just collapsed like it was a toy. See? All the greatest works of men. Okay. Verse 3. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, now remember the Mount of Olives is east of Jerusalem and east east of Jerusalem and sits a little higher and can look right down into the temple area and over into Jerusalem. Okay? His disciples came to him alone, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" Talked about the destruction of Jerusalem. "And what shall be the sign of your coming?" Now notice they didn't say signs. Sign. Later on he talks about the sign of the Son of Man. Okay? Let's get that verse here. Okay. We've covered this several times before. Yes, verse 30. Says, but go back to verse 29. "But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven." And we saw what that's going to be. That's going to be, as it says back up here in verse 27, "For as the light of day which comes forth from the east and shines as far as the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be." So it's all of a sudden, bam, there's going to be another sun out there. And it will be out there. But when heavens are rolled back as a scroll and the whole earth is shaken, it's going to take them some time to recover from that. Okay, let's come back over here and see what he said, completion of the age. "The sign of your coming and of the completion of the age." First thing, number one. "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Be on guard so that no one deceives you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they shall deceive many.'" That means the majority. See? Okay? I love it. Harold Camping had big signs out there saying, May 21st is what? The rapture? Christ is coming. See? He even names the day. Well, Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour. So if you see a big sign like that, you know he's a dunce. And if he's supposed to represent God, he hasn't read the Bible. Now, we have one man who associated with some of the churches of God who said, I'm one of the two witnesses, and later I'll reveal who the second one is. Okay. Now, he'd never thought it through before he appointed himself. And he couldn't find the second witness, so he said later, it's my wife. Okay. Now, what is the Achilles heel with saying you're the two witnesses? Anybody? No. You only have 160 days, don't you? 1,260 days, not 160 days, 1,260 days. Now, he said that a couple of years ago, so the clock is ticking. 1,260 days is going to come around. And if he doesn't fall into the abyss, you know, he's going to know he's a false prophet. But you see, he didn't think it through. He didn't think that, you know, 1,260 days, I had better be right before I say this because that's all the time I got. And I haven't seen him call any plagues or fires down from heaven yet. Okay? Now, the ones you need to be careful of are the ones who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. "You shall hear of wars and rumors of war." What have we been hearing about? Okay? "See that you do not let these things disturb you, for it is necessary that these things take place, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in different places." Is that happening? Yes, yes. "All of these things are the beginning of sorrows." Now, let's look at this from a modern media point of view. I've mentioned this before. Before modern media and rapid communication and transportation, I mean, now it's instant. Earthquake in Japan, bam, you got four color pictures, big as could be, right on your television set, right? Immediately, okay? The last fulfillment of all these things, I believe, are predicated on that kind of communication so that all the saints and everybody in the whole world will all know at the same time. Think of that. Okay? Let's come to Luke 41. This is one that... Luke 21, not 41, beg your pardon. There aren't that many chapters in Luke. Okay? Let's begin here in verse 9. And when you hear of wars and revolutions, now the King James says commotions, but revolutions, do not be terrified, for it is necessary that these things take place first, but the end shall not come immediately. And then he said to them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be great earthquakes. Now, one we had in Japan is a great earthquake. But that's not like the one that they had in the days of Uzziah. Now, Uzziah, Josephus reports that the million-man army from the Egyptians was coming up to conquer Judah. And God sent that earthquake. And it destroyed the whole army. And it was described as a 4-foot wall of dirt. That would destroy the whole army. Knock you out, kill the horses, you know. And that's noted back there in Zechariah 14. Okay. That'll stop any army. I mean, you do that today, and what would it do? It'd flip over tanks, trucks, planes. Okay? Now, let's come down here. There's another part that I have here. Translated. Okay. Verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and moon and stars. On the earth, distress and anxiety among the nations, the seas roaring with rolling surges. Did we see that? Yes, indeed. Men dying of heart attacks from fear and dread of the things that are coming upon the whole world, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So this is not going to be Harold Camping's, you know, walk in the park, go out and wait for the rapture, you know, on the 21st of May. Isn't going to happen. Oh, that's a Sabbath, by the way, isn't it? 21st of May? Maybe not. Okay. Now, all of these things are added to the economic distress that we have. And if anyone is into commodities and you do long and shorts on commodities, you might think about rice after the Japanese disaster over there. Probably shoot way up in price. I'm not into that, but, you know, there are some people who are. This is going to have an effect on everything. Japan could come to almost poverty because of this destruction. It doesn't have the cash reserves to handle this kind of destruction. And I don't know what they're going to set the dollar figure at, but every dollar they have, there are about 83 or 4 yen to the dollar, okay? So just think of the astronomical cost that is going to be. Plus, they're also stuck with the problem that they have a government that can't do what they're supposed to do, much like government we have here at loggerheads. They can't pass a budget. They've had economic problems like we have had, but only for 15 years, not just two. So this on top of it is going to really be a disaster. So you see, as we go along in these things, it's not going to be everything's just going to kind of continue as it is. No, there are going to be some big surprises as we go along. Likewise, economically. That's why this fellow wrote The Day the Dollar Crashes. And it's been everywhere in the news. The IMF has been calling for replacement of the dollar. Well, after this earthquake in Japan, what do they run to? The dollar. So they can't get rid of the dollar. everything they do to get rid of it, it doesn't work out yet. See? But it's going to happen. Okay. Now, it's talking about not only the dollar here, but the other currencies. You look at the Canadian dollar, the Australian dollar, New Zealand dollar. You look at the yuan in China. And what if they have a major, major disaster in China now? I wouldn't want to bet against it. And still they have over half, maybe two-thirds of the people in China living in poverty. When they come to these westernized cities, you know, like Hong Kong and Shanghai, hell, they're like this. What is this? What if they had a 10 million man march on Beijing? The peasants from out west. What if after they get the dam done in 2012, that they have an earthquake right up the Yangtze Valley? What would happen? You know, it is built to be earthquake-proof, but up to what level? See, God is capable of any level, see? You know, and then you have all that water backed up there? It's supposed to be the most advanced dam in the world. And they're counting on making a lot of money by having tourists come over and see this tremendous thing. It is tremendous. And they figured a way how to get all the silt past the dam. What you do, you have the water when it starts settling down. Then you have some pickup tunnels that take it and go clear around the dam and take it downriver. So they won't fill up with the sediment back of the dam because there's so much sediment in the Yangtze River. So what would happen if they had a big disaster in China? Remember, you look at the earthquakes. Pakistan has been having earthquakes. Indonesia has been having earthquakes. New Zealand has been having earthquakes. Australia has been having floods. We've been having rain and terrible weather here. Now the earthquake in Japan. What's going to happen next? Oh, and it was said, someone said up north, they said, well, for the first time I heard someone on CNN say, well, we ought to pray. Didn't say to who, but because of watching that, they said, oh, we ought to pray. See, God can get even atheist attention when he wants to, can't he? Okay, I had various comments that, you know, God has even caused those who don't believe in God to think about religion when these things take place. Isn't it interesting that Americans and Britain, when things get going tough, they run to God. But when God blesses them, they ignore him. See? So God isn't done yet. I think we're going to see a lot of things take place. Okay? But here's what they say concerning the financial situation. I'm going to be interested to see what's going to happen on the stock market on Monday morning, actually starting Sunday night. Beginning in Japan, what's going to happen to the Japanese stock market? What's going to happen to the yen? What's going to happen now to all of these plans to build these nuclear electrical plants in America and other places? See? God made oil to be used. Go drill it. Go use it. Do it right. It can be clean. You know how all these diesel trucks are getting around the high price of diesel? They're converting to natural gas. And they get the natural gas at the equivalent of $1.25 a gallon of diesel. And diesel right now is running $4.14. I filled up my car. I let it get real empty. And I've got a big tank on it. So I said, looked at the price. $4.14. How much do you think it's going to take? I said, well, $80, maybe a little less. $78.64. Okay? What if it goes to $10 a gallon? Okay? Well, then that would probably be about $200 to fill up. 20-gallon tank, $10 a gallon, $200, right? Okay? Now, that may get you to home and back. Okay. 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 And I'm also going to be interested at what's going to happen to rice, to wheat, to barley. And remember the earth. Not the earth, but people are producing more human beings all the time, and they're all growing and getting, you know, older and older. They all need food. And just like with our grandson, Jeremy, he's 7 right now, and he's in a growing spurt. He's eating everything under the sun that he didn't even care for when he was younger, see? So what's going to happen when you have all these young people hungry, needing food? Where's it going to come from? You know, all these people that survived this situation in Japan, where are they going to live? Well, price of camping goods is going to go up, right? Because they're not going to be going into any home anytime soon. Where are they going to get the lumber? Well, they're going to have to import it. So this is going to add to the inflation. Okay, they also said that because they're going to need a lot of food, it has to be imported, the food prices are going to go up. So everybody's going to run and buy some things here and in Europe and every place else, say, oh, we better get some, so the price is going to go up. You know, are we going to see $7 a gallon milk? I would not be surprised to see $5 a dozen eggs pretty soon. You did. You got rooked. Okay. Okay. So they asked the question, with all these things, now add this on. Remember, I got this report before these things took place. There's absolutely no way that the dollar and other currencies, that is the major currencies, can be saved. Okay? That is why the price of gold and silver move relentlessly upward. Our studies and intelligence tell us that the elitist running the show deliberately planned the collapse so they can form a world government. What did I say how long ago? For them, everything is on the line. If they lose, they'll lose everything. If we lose, the same thing could be true. We're not going to lose because too many people worldwide already know what they are up to, and what we are experiencing was planned that way. That talks about QE1, QE2, and so forth. But remember, you can never outsmart the elite because they always have a substitute plan to put in place. See? Because if they collapse all the currencies, something has to be done. You got to have a plan to work in there. And that's what they're saying with the currencies. Okay, they're talking about, will there be QE3 and hyperinflation? We've been in an inflationary depression for 2 years. Next is higher inflation, probably hyperinflation, then deflationary depression. What did I write in my last letter? Hyperinflation. Happening. Dolores goes to the store and comes back and said, well, it's 50 cents more, 75 cents more, smaller items, 10 cents, 12 cents. She got some Rye Crisp, and they're cut down in size, and they're thinner, and they're made with inferior stuff, and it tastes just like cardboard, you know. And so the ones who are running the money, they know what they're doing. They want a world government. The Bible says there will be a world government. So it's going to happen. All right. Here it says, this is February 24th from Dominique Sandbrook. We are at a hinge moment in world history. True. As the Arab revolutions have shown, the old certainties are cracking apart. Well, they were supposed to have the day of rage in Saudi Arabia. The army came out and shot 5 of them, and it was the day of whimpering. That's how they're going to take it. And who knows what's going to happen if Gaddafi takes over? There's going to be a bloodbath such as never before. People power. That's what he's talking about there. All right. What we have had in Europe is this. Every time there is a revolution, there is a bloodbath. Okay, what happened with Mao Tse Tung? 10 million people killed. All the elite killed, see? So what happens when you say, oh, the elite are at fault, okay? They went and killed all the bankers, all the professors, all of the philosophers, all of the engineers, everybody who knew how to do anything, and now you're clearing a backward country. And if it hadn't been for Nixon going over and opening up the door to China, they would still be that way. You don't recover from that kind of stuff very easily. And that's why they have to spy and cheat and take from other people, because they don't have the people there that have the education in the background to do a lot of things. All those buildings that they build in Beijing, all from Europe and Australia and America. Yeah, they have Chinese writing on them, but they wouldn't be there without those people, okay? Because revolutions can become uncontrollable. Look at the French Revolution. It developed rapidly with uncontrollable momentum. And I saw a little history of that on the History Channel the other day. And part of it was this. You know why they brought in the guillotine? Because the nobles were allowed to be beheaded. The common man was hung. So now we had equal opportunity beheading via the guillotine, and blood flowed. Turned into the Reign of Terror. Ballot box gave away to the guillotine. Committees and conventions were ultimately replaced by the rapacious megalomania Napoleon Bonaparte. So what did he do? He and Hitler weren't very smart. Dumbest thing in the world to do is attack Russia at the end of September, just before the winter comes. So what happened? The worst winter in 50 years hit Russia. And so all of the French troops had to come back. And Dolores and I watched that documentary on it, and they did a good job in showing what it was like. Those horses see their ribs. Men were walking all bundled up. Wind was blowing. Snow was blowing. It was, 15 degrees below zero. Had their feet wrapped. People dying along the way. And the only food they had was occasionally they took their bayonets and they went up to the horses and they cut off a strip about like this of their hide. And it was so cold that they froze right away, and the horses never felt it, horses and mules and stuff, And so they would munch on that and go home. Millions of people were killed. Look at all that have been killed in the 20th century. 200 million people all told. Oh, yes, man is right. Yes, man is good. Yes, man knows the way. God, get out of our sight. Well, he's going to visit them with earthquakes, and he's going to visit them with bad weather, and he's going to let them wallow in their rebellion, and he's going to let them know that he is God. Okay? All right, then out of that came democracy for Europe. And what happened? 4 million people were killed as the democracies came in. 3 decades ago, the Ayatollahs who took over in Iran are still in power. Egypt talks about that and talks about those things. The apocalyptic scenario could come to pass, then we in the West would not escape the consequences. Well, it's not going to come out quite exactly that way. All right? Not only is the dollar in trouble, here's the euro. And watch out for Germany. I'm going to give another sermon on Germany. Watch out for Germany, because they may cause deliberately the euro to fail. And between them and France, they'll rule Europe. And you look at the European Union and then at the greater European area that includes Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, Poland, Slovak, Hungary, Romania, Greece, those little countries that used to be Yugoslavia, all the way, the only thing they don't have is North Africa. But it's the exact same map at the height of the Nazi power. And if you watch what they did, I saw another special on History Channel, so you know what happens when I watch television. I don't watch 2.5 Men. Okay. Or what is that? You know, those Tinker Toy programs where they you guess words and so forth like that. Okay. And I saw the special on how they got the leading Nazis out of Germany through Switzerland to Genoa, Italy, and how that the Catholic Church had priests give them new names, new passports, and sent them to Argentina, Uruguay, and Paraguay. And their plan was to make a comeback. Now, good old Merkel, Mother Merkel in Germany, she says to the Turks, you either learn German and you integrate or raus, go. They're even talking about the elitists now in Germany of the need for dictatorial powers. So you combine that with this report. Much of the problem with negotiating the current and likely unsupportable agreement of the of getting bonds to cover the debt for Europe. Somebody's got to buy those bonds. And the world is already awash in bonds that'll never be paid back. So the Germans don't want to do that. They have another plan. Okay? So they won't do that. Germany is trying to use its financial clout to gain in peacetime the European empire it could not claim long ago by war. Now, did you see the movie Valkyrie? What was that? Valkyrie. Where it showed the last rebellion against Hitler and there were 15 rebellions against him. And after seeing that, the Lord said, well, God wanted Germany destroyed, leveled. But I also saw a special on that one where they were making it. And where there's the last scene where all of the major perpetrators are brought out into the courtyard of this government building and lined up to be shot. Before they took that, they had special services where they dedicated this to the good Germans who could lead Europe to a civilized union. Wasn't quite expressed that way, but it was dedicated to all the good Germans who tried to save the millions of German lives. And they said, we hope that history will recognize this as helping to bring more understanding and prestige to the Germans. What it's going to do, it's going to lift the Germans back to the arrogancy again. You wait and see. Okay, so what they want to do, they say here, the idea is with this plan that they have is to set up the euro for failure. If the euro fails, the dollar fails, the yen fails, it's almost gone now with this disaster over there. The Chinese yuan goes down, the ruble goes down, the Korean won goes down, the Australian dollar, Canadian dollar, New Zealand dollar, all the countries in South America with all of their different pesos that they have and so, they're gone. Nothing's left. So that's going to usher in the new currency. So they say that could well be that the euro itself is expendable at this point. In such chaos looming on the horizon, it seems to us that the power elite has already begun to inflict it on the world, creating regime change throughout the Middle East and Africa, and we see the signs in the Western banking. Okay, see what else we have here. Okay. Another one. What else do we see? We think the Western central banking policies may have deliberately introduced raging price inflation in developed and developing countries. Yes, plus the speculators. And it's the elite. What did I say when I said that they've got to keep the stock market up? Why do they have to keep the stock market up? Because that is the asset which the Federal Reserve uses to make money. And they have about $24 trillion in stocks and bonds. So if they can keep those prices up, they can keep making money. And remember, 10 to 1. If they have $24 trillion, they can produce $240 trillion. Now, if they go run amok printing press, that's what's going to happen. What would happen with the sudden advent of food scarcity to be followed by water scarcity? That may not be an accident. Okay, the dollar reserve system is going down. So what could happen? Okay, all of these things combined could create the necessity for a grand G20. Now, the G20 is what? All the central banks in the world, major central banks. G20 covers 98% of all currencies, okay? Create a necessity for a grand G20 compromise that could usher in a new monetary environment administered by the IMF under the auspices of the UN. Now, I'm reading things that 5 years ago would not be found in print. However, the outline of these things are found in prophecy, so let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back and look at those after the break.